Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today is Shivaratri, and therefore we will say some things in glorification of Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, as a devotee. Of course, we all know very well that Lord Shiva is popular in Hindu circles, very, very popular as an independent controller, as a demigod. But the devotees, of course, understand the truth of Lord Shiva, that he's not just some independent demigod. He's certainly not a competitor to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is a humble and very dedicated servant of the Supreme Lord. So we will try to celebrate him in these terms this morning. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So first of all, let us read verse 45 of the Brahma Samhita, which gives a very clear and very appropriate description, analysis of who and what is Lord Shiva in reality. So I'll just read it. Shiram yata dadhivakara vishesha yogat Sanjayate nahitata pritag asti heto yashambutam apitata samupaiti karyad govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Translation: just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same as nor different from its cause, milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So that's Lord Brahma speaking, giving us the basic idea, basic analysis, foundational type of understanding of who and what is Lord Shiva and what's his position. So let's say a few words about that. First of all, let me offer some prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne. Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadesh Tarne. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkap Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes. So this verse then that we've read, it's a very suitable verse spoken by Lord Brahma, giving us the clear idea of who is Lord Shiva, what is his position. So the basic idea is that just as milk is turned into Srila Bhaktisiddhanta translates dadhi, as curds. You know, we have adopted, so many devotees have adopted the understanding of this English word, curd, to be cheese, paneer. But going back at least to these times of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the word was used to mean yogurt. And indeed, that's the meaning here. Dahi. Krishna, of course, is Makhan Chaur. He's the butter thief. But sometimes he's also Dahi Chaur. Dahi or Dahi Chaur. He's the yogurt thief also. So in this context, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta translates the word dadhi as curd, he is meaning yogurt, definitely. And of course, he makes the point, Lord Brahma makes the point, that yogurt is a derivative of milk. So you cannot separate it from milk. It's the same. You're not going to make yogurt from anything else. Yeah. So yogurt, milk, they are inextricably connected with each other. They are one and the same. But at the same time, yogurt, of course, we all have sufficient experience as prasadam. I'm no experts, baby experts, but fans, certainly. We all know the difference between milk and yogurt. They're very important differences of different sorts. Milk is by taste sweet. All different foodstuffs are divided up in terms of their sort of natural tastes. And milk is naturally sweet. Just like sugar, obviously, sugar is sweet. That's the natural characteristic. So milk is also sweet. And indeed, there is a type of sugar called lactose, which is sugar. It's sugar, but it's derived from milk. So milk is sweet, like rice is sweet. Rice is also sweet. But yogurt is not sweet. Yogurt is sour. And I'm sure we've all had that experience sufficient times. You know, when you're making yogurt from milk, if you keep, you know, you make one batch from milk and then you add the souring agent, usually some yogurt, then the first generation is quite sour. But if you use the same yogurt that you made to make another batch, that batch generally, second batch is less sour, and gradually it comes to the point where it's not very sour, although it's still yogurt. But classically, yogurt is a real sour taste. Yes. So that's a difference between yogurt and milk. And in principle, that's a difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, particularly. Well, you can say Lord Krishna. Here, of course, Govinda is being talked about, who is Krishna. But in a more immediate sense, Shiva is a transformation of Vishnu. So just as milk is transformed by contact with a souring agent into yogurt, which is characteristically sour. So similarly, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, who is by nature sweet, Madhuram, Madhuram, famous song about how sweet is Krishna in so many ways. So sweet Krishna, somehow through contact with a souring agent, becomes sour, Lord Shiva. Yes. So that's a difference. Let me just mention one other difference, which is also on that very foundational level, is that, of course, you can make yogurt from milk, but you cannot make milk from yogurt. You cannot reverse the process and come out again with the same milk. Yogurt is fixed as yogurt. So similarly, Lord Shiva is a transformation through contact with the sarin agent, transformation of Krishna or Vishnu, but you cannot change him back. It can't be done. He's fixed. He's Lord Shiva. That's eternal. That's his eternal nature. And he has very important roles eternally in that sour capacity. Yes. So these are two important points to get about Lord Shiva and his position in relationship with Lord Krishna, in relationship with Lord Vishnu. So it's a real example of a Chintyabheda-Vedtattva. It's a real clear-cut example, an important example of oneness and difference. The yogurt and milk, you cannot separate them absolutely, that they're just two different things, because they're not. One is the transformation of the other. So the oneness is there, but the difference is also there, particularly in taste. So that's what Lord Brahma is talking about in this verse here about Lord Shiva. And in our literatures, there are a number of pastimes involving Lord Shiva as a devotee. Important pastimes. So I thought we could just go through some of these pastimes. I want to read another verse. It is Srimad Bhagavatam 12:13-17. That, anyway, let me just read it to you. Nimna ganam yata ganga devanam achuto yata vaishnavanam yata shambhu puranam idam tata. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, Krishna, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, Shiva, the greatest of Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Yes, this is another important verse, and well-known verse, at least the particular line describing Lord Shiva is well known, Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu. Shambhu, Lord Shiva, is the greatest Vaishnava. So this is another point to recognize about Lord Shiva, that not only is he, can he be understood in terms of this yogurt and milk example, but we should also understand very clearly he is a great devotee. The verse says, the greatest devotee. We understand there are greater devotees. Srimati Radharani ultimately is the greatest devotee. And then after her, there are different gopis. And after them, there are other bridge busses. And actually, they are greater than Lord Shiva. They're on more elevated levels of pure devotional service than Lord Shiva, it's a fact. So, therefore, we might ask, why? This is Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is a very important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it said that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava when it's clear for anyone who really understands Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what is Vrindavan, who is Krishna, who are Radha and Krishna? For anyone who understands that, even just in a moderate way, then it's clear that Lord Shiva is not exactly, he's a great Vaishnava, that's fine. But the very greatest, no. But the thing is this, that in Krishna consciousness, we have great, then we have greater, then we have greatest, then we have even more great, and then we have even more great, and even greater greatest. And until you, in terms of devotees, until you reach Srimati Radharani, there's no limit. And in certain respects, different devotees can be referred to as the greatest devotees. But that doesn't cancel out the possibility that there's even greater. So in that context, Lord Shiva can be accepted as the greatest Vaishnava. Certainly he's greater than so many, even though there are others who are more great, greatest, and even more greatest. Yeah, like this. So it really is like that. But as a type of bottom line, you could say Lord Shiva is definitely a very great devotee, worthy of glorification as such, worthy of appreciation, and so on like that. And therefore we're going to tell a few little stories about him. As a Vaishnava, because there's nice ones, they're nice stories, really nice. Let's see, where shall we start? Let's start with a very nice story. This is the story of, let's start with a short one, which very authoritative. This is the story of Chakaleshwara Shiva. Chakaleshwara Shiva, if you've been with us at Govardhan Hill, then probably we have taken you to the Chakaleshwara Shiva temple, which is on the, what would you say, northern side, basically, of Manasi Ganga, in the middle of Govardhan town. So on that side of Manasi Ganga is the temple of Chakaleshwara Shiva. And he's there in deity form. He's there as Panchamukhi Shiva, five-faced Shiva, and in specific terms in the temple, there are five Shiva lingas. And every evening, after the midday resting time, so it ends up normally being around five, then they dress up the main central Shiva linga who's in the middle amongst the other four. They dress him up. Well, they dress him up. Not exactly like a Gopeshwar, who we'll also talk about in Vrindavan town, who's dressed up as a gopi, but they dress him up as, you know, with a crown and in a very sort of regal type of appearance. So what happened was that, well, actually, right next, it's not 10 meters away from the Chakaleshwara Shiva temple, is Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kutia. He lived there in the later stage of his life, and actually left this world there at where his Bhajan Kutia is, just next to the Chakaleshwara Shiva temple. Although then his transcendental body was taken to Vrindavan town, and his samadhi is just behind the Madan Mohan temple. So anyway, Sanatan Goswami had a program of doing Vraj Mandal Parikrama. And at one time, he stopped overnight at Govardhan Hill by Manasi Ganga, and he wanted to take rest there, and he did that night. But then he was woken up by mosquitoes. And it was just, you know, sometimes it gets bad with mosquitoes. And so it reached a certain point during the course of the night that he felt, I can't manage this. There are too many mosquitoes in this place. So he got up to leave. As he was leaving, it's actually early morning by now, he met one elderly Brahmin who promised him, who was actually a form of Lord Shiva, who promised him, please stay here. Please stay here. Chakaleshwara was already there. Please stay here. We really like having your association. So if you agree to stay, I will see the mosquitoes get chased away. And he assured Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami said, all right, I'll give it another try. And sure enough, the next night, there were no mosquitoes.
No.
And I haven't asked the local people. Next time, we must ask. If you're with me, please remind me to ask, you know, are there mosquitoes here or not? But the understanding is that there aren't. So that was Chakaleshwar. That was Chakaleshwar Shiva appearing to Sanatan Goswami as a Brahmin and promising him like that. Although the story goes on that Sanatan Goswami, after a while, he based himself there when he was old. He became too old to do Govardhan Parikrama. So Krishna appeared to him and gave him a Shila, Govardhan Shila, and said, just walk around this seven times a day, it'll be equal to a full Govardhan Parikrama. Anyway, yeah. So Sanatan Goswami used to do that. And that Govardhan Shila, they say, is in the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan town. although they have another one in the Radha Damodara temple in Jaipur. Haribol. That's not the subject of our discussion today. So yeah, Chakaleshwar Shiva, famous deity of Lord Shiva at Manasi Ganga, just on the northern side, right on the bank. You step out the door, you almost fall into Manasi Ganga. Here's another one, another story. Nandeshwara, or Nandeshwara would be more correct, technically, Shiva. This is now in Nandagram. Those of you who have been to Nandagram, I assume you will have seen the Nandeshwara Shiva Linga. Just within the walls surrounding the big temple on top of the hill, but just by the northern entrance on the right-hand side, right there, there's a little shrine. You can go inside, and there's a Shiva Linga, fairly sort of typical Shiva Linga, and that's Nandeshwara Shiva. And the story there is that Lord Krishna, as a youngster, this is Nandagram, so it means Lord Krishna is 6, maybe 7 years old. He's still small, but, you know, he is growing up a little bit. And so Lord Krishna was there, staying, of course, with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, up on top of the hill. And one day, Lord Shiva called by, unannounced. Lord Shiva appeared there, wanting to have darshan, as our very dear Dina Bandhu Prabhu says, wanting to have darshan of Lala. Krishna, young Krishna, Lala. So Lord Shiva knocked on the door of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda's house. Nanda Maharaj was not there. I assume he was out herding the cows. Mother Yashoda was there with Lala, and she opened the door, and there was Lord Shiva. But she couldn't recognize him. She wasn't expecting that Lord Shiva is just going to arrive on her doorstep. And according to her vision, what she saw was some rather esoteric looking traveling mendicant, Baba, with long matted locks and with a drum, and even, would you believe, with a snake around his neck? Because you get that, you know, in some places in India. If you've been with us to, what's it called? Anyway, where Lord Balaram dragged the Ramgat, Lord Balaram dragged the Yamuna closer. At that place, there's a village there, and the children are into cobras. And when they see the Angrejis come, then they come out with their cobras. So it's not unheard of for people to have, like, tent cobras. So, you know, Lord Shiva, of course, is well known for wearing a cobra, but he's not the only one, as we just said. So Mother Yashoda, it didn't click. Oh, this must be Lord Shiva. the Ganges was coming out of her head, but it seems she didn't notice that. That would have been a bit of a giveaway, I think. The snake, maybe not so much, but the Ganges out of the head, the moon. She apparently didn't notice those things. So she just thought that it's some way out, Baba, you know, like these Naga Babas and people. Oh, then you've got to watch out for them. Got to watch out. If you ever meet a Naga Baba, good idea to head in the opposite direction. So she saw Lord Shiva and thought he was some sort of version of a Naga Baba or some cousin of a Naga Baba, something like that. And so she was shocked. And of course, she is very extremely protective about her Lala. So when Lord Shiva asked, "Can I please have darshan of your Lala?" then Mother Yashoda just looked at him and said, "No, go away," and just closed the door on Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, of course, was very disappointed, because Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, he is a great devotee. He's so attached to the Lord. So, but what could he do? So off he went. At that moment, Lala started crying. And, you know, just like we were talking about, we talk about sometimes Lord Chaitanya. When he was a child, he would cry. And the ladies, they got the idea. Whenever he cries, just chant Hare Krishna, and that'll pacify him. So it's like, it becomes like a game to play around with Lord Chaitanya as a child. So similarly with Lord Krishna, the ladies would be able to pacify him. As children do, Krishna would cry also from time to time, and they would pacify him. So here he is again crying, but they couldn't pacify him. They tried all the tricks. You know the tricks. Bounce him up and down and laugh and smile at him and tell him, "Look at the whatever something." And all these strategies. They tried their best, but Lala would not be pacified. So one of the ladies, you know, they all know about these games with Lala. When Lala wouldn't be pacified, one of the ladies asked Mother Yashoda, "Did anyone unusual, no, not just one of the local people, any stranger, particularly any unusual stranger, come by just now?" And Mother Yashoda thought and said, "Yeah, well, there was this really esoteric Baba who came by. Wow, he was wild. He even had a cobra around his neck, and I think I saw a scorpion or two on his body. Sure. And he wanted to see my Lala. But of course I wouldn't let him, so I just told him to go." And the lady said, "I think that Baba has put Naja on your Lala." Naja, for those of you from other cultures, means the evil eye. Sort of like a curse in one way or another. So, And so the lady said, so you got to find him. You got to find him. Bring him back. Do something. Do anything to pacify him. Otherwise, you never know. Lala may never stop crying. Ever. And that's going to really be a problem. So off they went to find Lord Shiva. And sure enough, they did find him. It took a while. Down the bottom of the hill and out to the east is Asheshavan. Asheshavan. Asha Isha. And there is Ashesha Shiva. Asha means desire, Isha means the Lord. Asha Isha. Asheshvara. The Lord of desire. That he easily fulfills people's desires. They found Lord Shiva down there. There's a temple there, and Lord Shiva's there. Nice kund, it's nice. It's really nice. They found him there. And Mother Yashoda appealed to him, won't you please come? You know, I'm so sorry I sent you away. I was just taken by surprise. Won't you come with me and have darshan of my Lala? And sure enough, Lord Shiva went. They went back up the hill, and there was Krishna, Lala, crying still. But as soon as he saw Lord Shiva, Krishna stopped crying. And he was very happy. And Lord Shiva said, okay, thank you for the darshan to Mother Yashoda. Thank you so much. I have to go now. So bye-bye, Lala. See you some other time. I'll come back whenever. And off he went again. But as soon as he left, Lala started crying again. And just uncontrollably. And Mother Yashoda chased after Lord Shiva. Come back, you must come back. Oh, okay. He came back, and again, when Lala saw him, Lala became happy again, and Lord Shiva said, you know, I really have to go. And off he went, and Lala started crying again. They brought Lord Shiva back, and Mother Yashoda said, you know, you're going to have to stay. Yeah? You're going to have to stay. Sorry. Can't go. It's too traumatic for Lala. And Lord Shiva said, listen, all right. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. But only under certain conditions. First condition is that you give me a nice place here, just by your house. Okay, no problem. We'll give you a nice place to stay. Second is, after Krishna's, Lala's, morning bathing ceremony, I must be the first one to get the Charanamrita. Oh, okay. And third, after the lunchtime offering, I must be the first one to get the Mahaprasad. Okay, all right. So Lord Shiva expanded into a Shiva Linga, and that Shiva Linga is there by the entranceway to the sort of the compound through the big walls around that surround the temple building is in the middle there, inside the walls. And he's there as Nandishvara. Nandishvara. And to this day, 5,000 years later, he's staying there first of all, then he gets the Charanamrita, then he gets the first Mahaprasad. And, yeah, he's still there. And, you know, next time you go there, if you somehow, you know, you got a shrug, It's not easy. You've got to will and deal. But you can arrange to get some of the Mahaprasad. And they make chapatis, or sort of chapati rotis. And those are, they're about this size. They are the biggest I've ever seen. And then, so one day we had their Mahaprasad. And you get little sabji, big roti. That's the way they do it. Yeah, big roti, little sabji. And away you go. Okay, I'll tell, there are other stories. I'll tell one other, at least. I'll tell the story of Gopeshwar, famous story. Gopeshwar is in Vrindavan. And it is said that in Vrindavan town, there are five persons who are particularly merciful. One is Govardhan, one is the Yamuna, one is the dust, the fourth is, what's the fourth one?
Vrinda.
Sorry?
Vrinda Devi.
Oh, Vrinda, that's right. Vrinda Devi. And the fifth is Gopeshwar. And here's a verse. This is a verse by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from Sankalpa Kalpa Druma. Vrindavanavani Pate Jayasoma Soma Mole Sanandana Sanatana Naradedya Gopeshvara Vraja Vilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayacha Nirupadi Namo Namaste, which means, O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, he's addressing Gopeshwar. O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, O Soma, all glories to you. O you whose forehead is decorated with the moon, Soma. Soma in this context means the moon. And it was worshipped by the sages headed by Sanandana, Sanatana, and Narada. O Gopeshwar, desiring that you bestow upon me limitless love for the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, who perform joyous pastimes in Vrajadam, I offer my obeisances unto you again and again. It's a nice verse. To Gopeshwar. So this is another famous story, that one time Lord Shiva, while Krishna's on the planet 5,000 years ago, he's up on, in his abode, Kailash somewhere, one of the Kailashes, and he's watching, every night, watching the Rasa dance. And of course we know Lord Shiva, he is Nataraj, the king of dancers. He loves dancing. He loves dancing. Some people are more dancers than others. Anyway, so he loves dancing. And he just, you know, every night watching this rasa dance of Krishna and the gopis, he decided, I want to take part. I'm going to go down and I'm going to join in. So he came down. And he landed by a place called Mansarovar. It's another really beautiful place. Across the Yamuna from Vrindavan town. So he landed there. And he's about, it's late afternoon. He just wants to go off to wherever the rasa dance is taking place. But Purnamasi stopped him and asked him, because she is the supreme manager of the pastimes in Vrajmandala. And she asked him, so, where do you think you're going? And he said, oh, I'm going to the rasa dance. I'm going to dance it up with Krishna and the gopis. And Purnamasi said, no, you're not. Don't you know? Krishna is the only male in the rasa dance. Oh, really? Okay. So what to do? Purnamasi took Lord Shiva and dipped him in Man Sarova. And Lord Shiva came out as Gopishvara, Gopeshvara. Lord Shiva, but in a female form. But still complete with cobra, scorpions, Ganges, moon, dreadlocks, and all this sort of thing. And still, you know, Lord Shiva is a big, powerful man. Yeah, he's really big and very strongly built. So now he's transformed into a female form, Gopeshvara, who has got all these things we mentioned, but she's also a big, strong girl. Like, really, a really big, strong girl. And Purnamasi said, okay, there you go for it. And said, you know, I'll be coming later. I'll see you there. So off went Gopeshvara. And she arrived at the Rasa Dance Arena, wherever it was that evening. And just sort of, there's Krishna, there's the gopis all gathered. It's now evening time. And Gopeshvara just sort of walked in, like, Hari Bol. Here I am. I'm joining. And the gopis just looked at Gopeshvara, this big, strong girl with the Ganges and the snake and all, and who they'd never seen before or heard of before. And the gopis said, oh, and who are you? What's your name? And Gopeshvara realized that he hadn't asked Purnamasi what should he call himself or herself. So Gopeshvara became a little sort of confused and flummoxed and said, oh, name. You want to know my name? Yes. You mean what people call me? Yes. And he said, oh. And then she said, oh. You know, I'm just so excited to be here, I forgot. And the gopi said, you forgot your name? Yeah, really, I just can't think of it. All right. Then you tell us, which village are you from in Vraja? Obviously, he couldn't say he's from Kailash. So he said, oh, village. Oh, I see. You mean place. Like where I live. That village. The gopi said, yes. And he said, Gopeshvara said, well, you know, I just call it home. But, you know, it's down the road, you see, down the road, and you take a left and a right, and then you turn, and then it's down there. And I forget the name, too. I just call it home. And they said, ah, you forget where you live. We understand. And then, all right, who are your parents? Oh, them. You mean my mother and father? Yes. I just call them Mata and Pita. Oh, you don't know your parents' names. No, not really. Oh, okay, we understand. And then the gopis really got into it. Then what is the snake doing around your neck? Oh, him. Well, he's a pet. He's nice. He's tame. And the scorpions too. Yes, they're friendly scorpions. And what is that water spout coming out of your head? Oh, it's the latest technology. Keep you cool in the hot weather. And the moon, that's also for cooling. And of course, Lord Shiva has the ashes of cremated human bodies over his body. And the gopi said, what is that powder on your all over your body? It looks like the ashes of cremated bodies. And Lord Shiva said, oh, that, don't worry about that. It's the latest cosmetic. You want to try it? And the gopi said, listen, you are too much. You are just way out of it. We are going to beat you up and chase you away. At that moment, Purnamasi arrived and saved the day for Gopeshwar. Because don't underestimate those gopis. They are tough girls. They are tough village girls. So Purnamasi said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know this girl. I can vouch for her. She is a nice girl. So don't beat her up. Let her take part in the rasa dance. And the gopi said, all right, because you are you, and you're just, you know, we worship you. We won't beat her up, but we're not letting her into the rasa dance. She's too weird. And Purnamasi said, all right then, but let her stay on the side. Because you can see she's a big, strong girl. She can be the bouncer. If any, you know, unsuitable, unqualified girls try to gate crash into the rasa dance, she will send them away. And so the gopi said, all right, all right. And therefore you see some pictures. Particularly you see if you go to the Vansi Vat temple, which is just near the Gopeshwar Shiva temple in Vrindavan town. They have a nice picture on one of the altars under the tree, under the Vansi Vat, which Krishna played the flute under. Nice picture of the rasa dance, and on one side is Gopeshwar Shiva. Complete with snake, Ganges, and whatever else. So they say that at the rasa dance, Vrinda Devi is the ticket collector. Means she checks, are you up to the standard? But if you're not, she hands you over to Gopeshwar, who ejects you. So that's Gopeshwar Shiva. This is a form of Shiva. And again, if you go there, you'll see during the morning session, you know, in these temples, it normally goes up to 12, latest 1. From sometime in the morning up till sort of midday-ish. Then Gopeshwar Shiva's there as a regular Shiva Linga. But you come, they close then, you come back around 5 for the evening session, and Gopeshwar Shiva is dressed up as a gopi. Sure. And really looks pretty amazing. They've got all these amazing shringars, they call them, outfits for Gopeshwar Shiva as a gopi. So these are some things to do with Lord Shiva. There are various other things we could have tell the story of. Maybe, I don't know, if whoever's giving class tonight wants to, Vrikasura from the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam, the story of Simantani Devi on Samantadweep and Navadweep with Lord Shiva there. That's a nice story. There's the story from Padma Purana of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna discussing the position of Shiva. That's nice. From the 8th canto is the story of Lord Shiva drinking the ocean of poison. And, you know, there's other things too. There's from the Brahma Samhita also the description of Shambhu, the glance of Lord Vishnu. The glance who is a form of Lord Shiva, who impregnates the material nature. These are all very interesting things about Lord Shiva. Let me just conclude by reading from, it's a paragraph from Srila Jiva Goswami, from his purport to Brahma Samhita verse 8. He says, here someone may object. Is it said somewhere that there is a cause of Shiva and Durga? The answer is that as the universal form is manifested from Lord Vishnu, so also is Shiva and Durga. That is confirmed in this verse by the word Tal Lingam, which, offhand actually, I'm sorry, I don't know which verse it is exactly, but I'm sure it can be looked up. This is confirmed by the word Tal Lingam, which basically means his form. In the Vishnu Purana it is said, the potency of the material world is manifested from a part. Listen to this. The potency of the material world is manifested from a part, of a million millionth part of Lord Vishnu. Thus, a small part of Lord Vishnu's spiritual effulgence is manifested as the linga described here. Because linga means form, literally. That linga is Shambhu. A specific manifestation of that is called Shambhu. That is the meaning. So, Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande.